As always, we thank Donna for the opportunity to set a good tone of worship as we gather together today in the Lord's house to hear him and to just let the good Lord speak to us. I'm going to do something. I'm going to mess with this microphone because I feel like I'm looking at a cobra. Somebody tall was here before me. There we go. Is that better? I don't want you sitting there going, looking this way. Listen, look at each other. Give somebody a wave and a good morning that says you mean. Everybody say good morning.
Morning.
Get a smile on that face that says, man, like I've said it before, I'm glad to be here. I am glad that you are here. As far as our online audience, be sure to say hello to our very own Dr. John Cazito. As always, we want our online audience to know that Dr. John, he is a real person, I promise you. In fact, he's sitting right over here. That means that you're interacting. You know, we're in that world with artificial intelligence and everything else. So I promise you that if you put something on there, if you ask a question, it's a real person that's answering you, not just a computer. So we're glad for all that Dr. Cazito does to help us out here, and particularly with our online audience. So let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our worship time today. Our Father, as we come to you again, we're grateful and thankful that you give us this opportunity. Father, there are many times, and particularly today, I think about folks who don't have the privilege of the freedoms to be able to gather in your name. And Lord, we realize that there are places all across this world where there's political unrest, there's religious unrest, and Father, we're grateful that we have this opportunity in America to be a part of the land of the free and the home of the brave. And Lord, as has often been said, because of the brave. We thank you for those in our military who have acquired and protect the freedoms that we enjoy on a daily basis. We ask that you would watch and be with them. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to worship as the family of God that we call Central Baptist Church. Lord, you've blessed us in so many ways, and you continue to do things that man can't even begin to explain, and that's simply because you're God. We give you the credit for that. And today, Lord, as we come together, we pray that you will help us to quiet our hearts before you. And we realize that everybody has a lot of things that are going on. We're busy. Our schedules are packed. But for these few moments that follow, I pray, Lord, that you will help us to truly have our focus upon you. Lord, I pray that in all that is said and done, you would be honored and magnified. And Lord, most of all, I ask that you would prepare our hearts today to hear you. Because if we have arrived seeking a blessing, you will give us that blessing, because your word does not return void. So, Father, right now, I pray that you would help us to prepare our hearts and speak to us. And then, Lord, give us courage to act upon what it is that you have placed on our hearts. Lord, may we worship you today in every aspect, in a true, pure form of worship. Lord, help us not just to redundantly sing as we are going to here in just a few moments. Help us not to be in just a habit, but, Lord, to concentrate on what we're saying, what we're singing to you. Help us, Father, as we pray, to do so as we're talking to a friend. And, Lord, when your word is open, may you reveal yourself to us. So, Lord, may today be different than any other day, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Please stand with me as we sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God. Born of the Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior, all day long.
52, He leadeth me, O blessed thought.
We're going to be looking at passages that are going to be coming out of the book of Romans chapter 12. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn on over with me to the book of Romans chapter 12. Now, this morning, I'm going to need to give you a little bit of backstory about today's message. Last couple days, Jimmy McDonald and I serve with the North Carolina Baptist Men, or Baptist on Mission, whichever way you want to see it. Some of you get the magazine, or you have served with the Disaster Relief or Recovery, which the new name is now Disaster Response. So that's where they go out for when the hurricanes, the floods, or any sort of natural disaster. They feed those that are in need. They do laundry, do all kinds of different things. Well, Jimmy and I are two of their heavy haul fellas. So we actually had to take a feeding unit or go pick one up in Ahoskey, North Carolina. How many of y'all have ever know where that place is? You've been off the beaten path, haven't you? So we had to go to a Hosky and pick that up and take it to Jacksonville. How many of y'all know where Jacksonville is? There we go. And of course, they said the one caveat is that the training's on Saturday, but you got to have it there by 9 a.m. Friday morning. So we took off, and we said, well, Jim and I will leave on Thursday. Well, that was when they had the phone outage. How many of y'all had the phone outage going on? Okay, I couldn't get a hold of Jimmy. Jimmy couldn't get a hold of me. And you know, your plans were just going crazy. So we finally meet up and get gone a little after noon. We get there, and I thought, well, when we get there, since we're leaving on Thursday, you know, the truck has a sleeper in it, and it has bunk beds. So I thought, well, we'll just stay there. We'll be ready. We won't have to leave at 1 o'clock in the morning to make this trip. So I called the church that was hosting this place, and I talked to a very kind lady, and asked her, I said, we've got to come in. I said, is there a problem with us, parking the truck in the parking lot of the church and just, staying in the sleeper cab? She said, not a problem whatsoever. So I get a call a little while later that's a fellow from the church. And I mean, I didn't know, I just knew it said Jacksonville, and that was where we were going. So I said, I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to answer this call. And gentleman said, yeah, he says, I understand you guys are going to be coming in on Thursday. And said the administrative assistant said you all were planning on staying in the truck. I said, yeah. I said, if you don't mind, I said, that just would help us out a lot. And he goes, well, he goes, I got a better idea if I might offer. And I said, well, sure. He said, my wife and I, our son actually lives in England, and he and his wife and our granddaughter live in England. They don't get to come here that much, but he said, I took my garage, overhead my garage, and converted it into an apartment for, for my son, my daughter-in-law, and my grandchild. He said, they only come about once a year. He said, now, they get to stay for a month when they come, but he said, but they're not here right now. I was just wanting to know if you all might like to stay there. So I thought for a minute, and I thought, well, it's cold, it's a truck, I love Jimmy, Jimmy loves me, but not in close quarters like that. So after thinking about it for a millisecond, I said, we'd love to have that. So he said, well, he said, I'm taking a group from our church to the mission conference in Greenville. And he said, I won't be able to be there till late. I said, we won't be getting there till late. And I said, we're good. And I said, Jana's got us packed up. We got stuff to be able to get us even a bite to eat while we wait. So really, it wasn't that long. He comes in with a van, picks us up. We look like we're moving. We load all this stuff up. We get over there. And we go up, to the place. He shows us around. Cute little two-bedroom place up there. Each of us had a bedroom. There's the TV. There's soft drinks here. There's coffee there. There's all these different things. And I began to wonder at that particular point. I thought to myself, I've had one telephone conversation with this man. And yet, all of a sudden, we're here, for lack of a better word, in their home. Now, when I walked in the bedroom, there were chocolates on the bed. The coffee was stocked. I mean, there was linens there. It was laid out finer than any five-star hotel you have ever stayed in. And I began to think about something, and I just have not been able to get it off my mind, and that's the reason why you get to hear about it today, because one of the I'll call it a spiritual gift, is hospitality. That is something that makes more difference than most people would even begin to imagine. I literally lay there in bed and said to myself, these folks have never met myself or Jim McDonald, and yet they said, we're inviting you into our home. We want you to come stay here. Now, you talk about folks with a heart to serve. These folks had a heart to serve. Now, this is scripturally relevant, so I will get to that part of it in just a moment. But another thing that we saw, as we had a lot of time to kill while they had to do some work on the unit that we had down there, we met one of the deacons at the church named Tillman. Had him a gray beard down to right here. Kind of a quiet fella. Didn't say a whole lot. And we saw him in the kitchen, and he was mixing and doing all kinds of different things. And we finally got to talking to some of the people there. And they said, oh, yeah, Tillman's got a specialty. He said, y'all in for a real treat tonight. He said, "Cause you know, they were feeding us supper there." He said, "Y'all in for a real treat tonight." And they said, "Tillman makes a chicken noodle soup. Man, he does the chicken and everything." But he said, "Not only does he do that, he makes the pasta noodles to go in it." So in the kitchen, he is in there all day making pasta to feed this herd of about probably 50 people that were part of the relief recovery response training. And every single person it seemed like I met in that church seemed to have had the gift of hospitality. They put their specialty in it, and here was the interesting part about it. They weren't sitting there going, "Here comes those people again." You know, I know without any shadow of a doubt, and I am sure that the gentleman, and because of the fact that this is, you know, broadcast, I try to not, you know, state names or any of that sort of thing, but I'm sure he had a conversation with his wife. But I can tell you that after meeting both of those, they didn't think twice about taking a couple of strangers in. They didn't think twice about taking an opportunity to serve somebody in the name of the Lord. Because the interesting part was, and I love where the scripture tells us, that your spirit bears witness one with another. Do y'all know what I'm talking about when I say that? Have you ever just met somebody and before any words even came out of their mouth, you knew they were a believer? Your spirit just, I guess the spirit can bear witness over the phone too. Because they called and asked us to come over there, but didn't even think twice about it. Now, I believe with all of my heart that we could have been the worst heathen sinners on the face of this planet, and they still would have opened their home to us. Because they have that hospitality gift to be able to serve Jesus through that. You see, I think, well, with all my heart, that the idea was to have that place so that their son and daughter-in-law and granddaughter could stay when they came in. But in the meantime, how can we use this for the glory of God? And they do. I mean, they tossed us keys to the vehicle. "Hey, I'm going to go somewhere. I'll see you. I got to be there at 5 in the morning. I'm sure y'all don't want to. There's my truck." I'm like, would you do that to somebody that you had just met? Now, I want you to think about that for a second. So I thought about that. It brought up some scripture, and I'm going to give you a couple of different ones. But over in Romans chapter 12, if you will take a look, beginning with verse 9. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 9, it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulations, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, and given to hospitality." Pray with me if you would. Father, you're good to us. May your word spring forth life within our hearts today, and may your spirit move upon each of us in a very special way. Use me, Father, as your servant. To preach your word today in a way that the Spirit is heard rather than the man. And Lord, we'll praise you for it as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's interesting that when we look at this particular passage, notice what it just right out of the gate, it starts off with, "Let love be without hypocrisy." Now notice, love is one of those interesting things, isn't it? You know, love can change the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you function. I know I've seen it before, and I've seen even some of you guys. You know, when the people get around that you love, you might be having a really bad day. You might be cranky. You might be snippy and snappy. And then when she walks in the room, all of a sudden things change. You get gooey. But I let you think about it. Let love be without hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy? We all know what that word is, don't we? Even the unbelievers understand what hypocrisy is. It means saying one thing and doing yet another. You know, it's one thing to say that you are one of God's children. It is another thing to live your life in a manner that people see that, whether your words ever express it or not. So it starts off
real plain and simple. Let love be without hypocrisy. Say what you mean what you say. Remember, what is it that the Lord himself said? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. You know what? Now, let me also say this. Not everybody has that kind of a gift of hospitality that I just explained to you. You see, the person that has that gift is actively looking for and seeking ways in which to engage that gift of hospitality. You know, the thing about it was, I believe with all my heart that after I had that conversation with the secretary, she talked to this guy in their church who was the one who was setting things up. And I don't think that for one second they had a committee meeting about what to do about these two country boys who were going to be coming in with a truck in their parking lot. I don't think there was any discussion there on that level. But I believe with all my heart, he probably called his wife and said, hey, there's some guys coming in. There's two of them. They're planning on staying in the truck. We've got the place out here. And you know what? I believe with all my heart. She said, by all means, have you got a number? Can you call them? I think they actively sought a way to be able to serve the Lord because they were given the gift of hospitality. It blew my mind. I saw that in so many people within their church. They took us in as if we were family. We had never been there before. We had never met any of those people, but they loved us like family, didn't they, Jim? Anything that you want, anything that you need, come on over here, we can do this. But let your love be without hypocrisy, because if it has hypocrisy behind it, you will be found out and found out very quickly. You know, you've done some things for people before that you didn't really want to do. You know, the Lord also says in his word that, as a matter of fact, it's one of the other passages. I hope I get to it. But it says, let it be done without complaining. Let it be done without grumbling. I will bet you any amount of money, if I was a betting man. You know, Baptists don't bet. But I will guarantee you that when he talked to his wife, they didn't have to have a back and forth discussion because both of them had that gift. And I believe with all my heart that they meant it. I don't believe that when we left that she went up to that place and says, I got to wash these sheets now because these guys were here. I got to do this laundry. I got to get these towels together and in order. I'm going to have to clean out the shower. I've got all this stuff to do because those two guys were. I don't believe for one minute. I think she probably picked that towel up and thanked God that they were allowed to be able to use and utilize their gifts. Now, that doesn't mean that we went making a mess on purpose. We made up the beds, but you get what I'm saying. I think that when we left out of there, by the way, we had to drive right by the house, and Jimmy grabbed a big air horn and blew it when we went by. But I believe with all of my heart that they thanked God that they had the chance to serve. Are we utilizing the gifts that God has given us in that regard? Whatever gift that God has given you, are we doing it with a heart of love? Are we doing it without hypocrisy? Are we doing these things without grumbling? And it says, cling to what is good. Verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love. Like I said, man, they loved on us while we were there. And the majority of them we've never even seen before. We met their pastor, we met their executive pastor, we met the deacons, those ladies that, golly Pete, man, I'll tell you one thing, we didn't starve to death. I said, man, I'm going to have to try Tillman's chicken noodle soup. That one lady, two ladies behind the thing were saying, well, this is homemade Brunswick stew too. I said, man, are you making it a tough choice? She said, no, I'm not. It's not a choice. I'm going to give you both. And their serving ladle looked like a shovel. We didn't go hungry, did we, brother? And it was almost like they were trying to fight over who was going to get to serve somebody, not because it was competition between them, but because they had the heart to serve. And you know what? When we sat down, they said, don't worry about them. Don't worry about throwing them plates and stuff away. We want to serve you. We're going to have people coming around. If you need drink refills, don't worry about getting up. We got you. We're going to take care of that. I was sitting there going, man, I feel like I'm in a fine dining establishment here. Homemade food made with love. And it wasn't where they had, I've got to be here at 5 o'clock in the morning to start this breakfast. No. No, not a bit. Our host said, look, I got to be there at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm sure y'all don't want to be there. Here's keys to the truck. Who does that? Now, let me add a caveat. We live in 2024. Remember when I said about spirit bearing witness one with another? You better seek out the spirit, because the spirit will definitely let you know when it's right, and the spirit will let you know when it is wrong. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you don't serve those other than brothers and sisters, but I'm saying you be very careful about how you serve those that are brothers and sisters, that are not brothers and sisters. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, you got to be careful. Don't use this thing right here, and use this thing right here. Now, I also want to point this out. The heart is desperately wicked above all things. Everybody says follow your heart. Follow the spirit, okay? The Spirit laid all this out. But it says, be kindly, verse 10, affectionate to one another with brotherly love in honor, giving preference to one another. And that is exactly what they were doing. They esteemed the other as better than themselves. Could you imagine a world where people did that? Where it wasn't about selfishness? Can you imagine being with a bunch of people who were willing to do whatever it took, minus sinning, to be able to make sure that the others around them were taken care of, that felt love, they felt that freedom, they felt that sense of family. Being kindly to one another, verse 10, with brotherly love, in honor and giving preference to one another. Oh, it's not about me, it's about you. It's about how can I serve you, what can I do for you, how can I help you, verse 11, not lagging in diligence. We have got a tail lagging problem. Y'all get that? If God tells you to do it, let me give you something really biblical. Are you ready? You might want to write this down. This might change your life. If God tells you to do something, are you ready? Do it. Two words. Do it. Write it down. Underline it. This is part two of that sermon. Remember, number one, if God's showing you, do it. That's number part one. Part two is do it now. Don't wait, don't lag, don't miss the opportunity. Not lagging in diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And when you do that, and when you have that heart, it is a joy to do it. You know, the thing about it is, you know, I don't know about Jimmy, but I was pretty tired when I got home. But we had that opportunity, and what a joy it was to sit back and say, you know what, all these people are here because they're learning how to use this equipment to literally serve thousands and thousands of people. I mean, it's amazing. And then you think about how important you are in the cog that makes that thing work. You see, if Jimmy and I hadn't done our job, there wouldn't have been no training because the unit wouldn't have been there. The majority of the people that were at that training, that was what they were for. And although we're just happy to be servants, you would not believe how many people came and said, hey, listen, I want to thank you guys for what you do. We really appreciate your heart. In fact, I think the pastor said there's a lot of people here on a Saturday. There's a lot of other things people could be doing on a Saturday. People that work all week, they're here because they want to serve the Lord. So verse 11, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. I have trouble with that one. I have trouble with the word patience. You know why I have trouble with it? because I don't have any. Where are my brothers out there who don't have patience? Hallelujah. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you, brother. Confession's good for the soul. Patience. Man, think about it for a minute. It says this, patient in what tribulations? I was about to come unglued. It wasn't because Jimmy, but I had told Jimmy, I said, Jimmy, look, I got a doctor's appointment. I will call you when I get out of that appointment, we'll leave from there. Well, the problem was I couldn't call Jimmy. Jimmy's phone was jacked up in that outage. I tried to call Debbie. I thought either they're ignoring me because it was going straight to voicemail, and I said, nah, they wouldn't do that. Man, I even called Ruby. Ruby, are they alive over there? And I was talking to Ruby, I got a message that Jim said, oh, my phone's back up. I didn't even know that they were out because mine was working. So, but it was a tribulation. If there's an issue, let me make something very clear to you. If Satan can put an obstacle in your path to success in doing what it is that God wants you to do, he's going to put it there. Plain and simple. It is the Murphy's Law of spiritual life. If it can go wrong, it will. And I will tell you, I don't ask God for patience, and many of you in here know you've talked to me before about patience, and I said, please don't pray for patience. And they said, well, why? I said, because how do you get good at something? You practice. So you know what? If you say, God, listen, I want to be a patient person, he goes, okay. Here comes plenty of practice. He's going to give you a lot of stuff. I said, pray for wisdom. That's a good thing to pray for. And then sometimes you scratch your head. I know Jimmy saw some of my frustration before because it's like, where do we take that feeding unit when we leave here? Well, it's not going back to a Husky. It's got to be used in 2 weeks in Raleigh. And then it's like, well, we would like to carry it further here so it would be closer for, you know, who takes it next, which, by the way, is Jimmy. And then it's like, well, okay, if you're going to do that, you have to get the permission of the caretaker of the unit. Then you got to get permission from the person who actually operates the unit. Then you have to get permission from the person at the state convention level. Then you've got, I'm like, what? So when Jimmy and I showed up yesterday morning, when we were going to be leaving, we were going to one of three places and we didn't know which one it was. We were either going to Raleigh, Burlington, or Greensboro. And halfway through the day, we finally got the destination. And me, I'm sitting there going, can't somebody make a decision? Yeah, it's kind of like, well, I'm going to tell you where I'm going to put it. Y'all can figure it out later. No, patience. Notice what it said, rejoicing in hope. Verse 12, patient in tribulation. We are not very good about being patient during our tribulations, are we? I mean, let's be honest. We're not. But do you realize that that is what other people will see in you? And it is a mark of spiritual character to do that. Hey, listen, I'll be honest with you. I'm challenged with that. I am not a patient person. You've probably heard me say, well, I'm not patient with stupidity. And all of y'all thought it. If you hadn't said it, you've thought it. And you've sat back and said, you don't get it, man. And I know that there's some of you in here that have said, my boss is 30 years younger than me and trying to tell me what to do. You're like, they ain't never done this a day in their life. Why don't they listen to the people in the field? That's another message for another day. But being patient in tribulation is a mark that people see in you, a spiritual mark. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Folks, I cannot tell you how much prayer means in all this. Prayer is the objective. Prayer is what matters more than anything. Because do you realize that no matter what the circumstances are, God can handle them? Would we agree on that? God can handle it. If it's financial, God can handle it. He owns it all. He owns a cattle of 1,000 hills. If it's something that needs to get worked out, God can handle it. Here's my question. Why don't we ever ask? Why don't we ever go to God? Why don't we carry these things to the Lord? You know, I've gotten to the point in my life where when a problem crops up, you know what I say? I don't have problems. I don't have a single problem in this world. Do you know that? God has problems. You know why? Because I'm one of his children. So when it gets broken, when it needs fixed or whatever, you know what? I'm like, oop, oop, God, look, here. You need to handle that. You ever done that before? I think everybody in here has seen Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase. Remember when he picked up that big ball of lights and he told his son, there's a little knot here, here, work on that. And that's what we need to do with God. Well, God, there's a little knot, work on that. He's going to take care of it and he's going to work it out in the way he wants it to be at the snap of a finger. Why do we worry about that? Why do we worry ourselves into that? Worry is a sin. And yet God says, I want you to be patient in tribulation, continually in prayer. See, we got to carry it to him in prayer. Remember the old hymn? Carry everything to God in prayer. But do we do that? Let me tell you something. If you want to see God do something incredible, then you get to praying. I'm excited about what God's going to do with the ladies that have met and continue to meet and the things that they're praying specifically about. You know, sometimes I think that when God sees groups like that and I say, Lord, he goes, wait a minute, Roy, Mari's group's praying over there. I'll be with you in just a minute. I'm being facetious. Of course, God always hears our prayer. But if it's going to be done, and it is going to be done in a way that's going to magnify God, it will not happen aside from prayer. Now, I'm going to put a little caveat in here real quick. You got a team getting ready to leave very soon, going on the mission field. I will make you a promise. If you don't have this team prayed up, things aren't going to go like they're supposed to. Not only do I know that, I've experienced that before. I have seen God do some incredible things. You know, the things that you can actually see, and you're sitting there going, I've shared with you how we have taken materials that we're not supposed to take in there. Yeah, I tell no story. When I got there, and they're like, you need to put all your stuff here. And I still remember, and this was years ago, when it was even worse than it is now, and I laid a whole bunch of Bibles, Bible study and everything up there. And there was two women that were working there. I'm sitting there going, well, okay, here we go. So I laid all this stuff out. I mean, it's plain and simple. And another lady comes up and starts talking to this girl. I don't know whether they was talking about their date for that night or what, but they was excited with their conversation. And I'm just standing there, and they're yammering. And finally, all of a sudden, something dawned on me. It was like I had disappeared. I mean, literally, I'm going. And one of our guys was over there going, and I was like, another thing, saying I was getting ready to get toted off or not. They literally talked for 5 minutes. And I was like, and then it was like all of a sudden, the one that told me to do that 5 minutes before looked over at me like I just reappeared and said, oh, go ahead and go. And I was like, do you think I waited long? Walk right on through. God does things like that. But he does it when Central Baptist Church is back here on their knees praying for those teams that are out on the field. I'm not talking about just our Cuba team. I'm talking about when our senior adults would go to Wyoming. I'm talking about when you go across town, folks. We have got to be people of prayer because that changes things. I've said before, you guys do a great job in every aspect. I am so proud, maybe too proud. Then when people ask about Central Baptist Church, I say, let me tell you something about our church. Our church people love, our church people understand what the word tithe means, our church people understand what the word missions and giving means, and our people understand what the word prayer means. And when you got that combination, you can unlock any door whatsoever. I mean that. You have risen to occasions and challenges, and I listen, I'm challenging you, you pray for us. I have watched God do some incredible things with some less than sharp tools that have gone to the field. I shared with you one of the things that I will tell that story till the day I die about what God did when it seemed like there was no way, even when we got there last year. God's already got a plan. God's already got it figured out. You all need to pray for us that we have spiritual eyes to see what it is God wants to do. And I'm begging you for that. If anything, listen, when God puts you, if you see a yellow light, after you put the accelerator to the floor, I want you to think of yellow. And what's that say? When you, and some of y'all are going to do this. You're going to come back to me later and say, you know what, I was going down the street and the light turned yellow and I gunned it and I thought about our Cuba team. Well, listen, when you think about it, say a prayer for us. Because the Lord's going to put us on your heart. And we desperately need those prayers. It says, continuing, verse 12, steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints. Given, did you get that? Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. You see, those people that we dealt with this past weekend saw needs that we had. Now, again, Jimmy and I weren't going to starve to death. We weren't going to go without sleep. But I will tell you one thing. They sure made this level of what we were going to have this level because God used them. And I will promise you, I even told that guy, so let me tell you something. I said, God is refashioning your crown right now, and he's adding some jewels to it. I couldn't thank them enough. But the spirit that was there, just to be able to share, took us to breakfast. We'll go to one of the local places for breakfast. I was like, that's my kind of place. That's some sausage and some, we had all kind. Like I said, I gained like 15 pounds over the last couple days. Suffering for Jesus out there. But listen, is that what we think when we see people? I want to ask you the question. Would it have worked that way for you if somebody would have called and said, hey, look, man, we're having this event there. We're coming in a day early. We're going to sleep in a truck in the parking lot. Now, don't get me wrong. Listen, it's a sleeper, man. It's got two bunk beds. We got pile. I mean, we were not going to be uncomfortable. But I was a whole lot more comfortable in that bed. You put two guys that have to have a CPAP machine, it'd probably sound like Darth Vader in that thing. You open the door, it'd be breathing. But see, it wasn't really about that. It was about two folks saying, you know what, I don't preach sermons. I was talking to the guy. His name's Doug, by the way. And he said, nah, he said, I don't preach sermons or anything. I said, oh, yes, you do. I said, yeah, you do. And he looked at me kind of funny. And then he started grinning. I said, yeah, you preach some sermons. I said, but you preach them with your life. I even told I went to their pastor and I said, anytime you want to give them up, you send them to me. You bring them down here to Central Baptist. I said, they'll fit in great. I said, because they're actively looking for ways to serve the Lord. They're looking for things to be able to do. They, again, like I said, it wasn't that they were upset like, oh, this is going to be awful because we're going to have to clean up after them. Let me give you a couple more verses, and I promise I'm going to shut it down. You don't have to turn there, but over in 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Uh-oh, here we go. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. You got some professional grumblers? Are you one of them? At least I'm going to be honest with you. I can grumble with the best of them. I can have a monologue with myself that would just, curl hair. You've done it. The Yosemite Sam vocabulary. Confounded, freaking, fracking, no good, low down, dirty, double crump. Do it without grumbling. I got to catch myself on that sometimes. Because sometimes I'll be like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Why we got to do it this way? And I catch myself a lot. You know what I should say? Lord, I'm glad that you've given me the ability to serve you in this way. Wherever you send me, I'll go. Whatever you say, I will do. And I'm going to do it all to the... See, when you do it to the glory of God, it takes the you out of it, which means it takes the grumbling away from it. Right? You see, here's the thing. I believe that that couple loved on me and Jimmy, but they didn't do it simply because of us. They did it because God allowed them to do that. So not only did Jimmy and I get honored, God got honored. And that, my friend, is what makes all the difference in the world. Be hospitable one to another without grumbling. I love what Leviticus chapter 19 also says. It says, and if a stranger dwells with you in your land, you shall not mistreat him. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. We were strangers, and they took us in, and we felt like family. It's an amazing, amazing thing. Not only when you have a chance to do that, but when you are the recipient of that. See, a lot of you folks in here have been givers your whole life, and part of the problem is you don't know how to be a taker. You've been the person who's been doing the service, and you haven't been served very much. It almost feels a little awkward when you are. But let me tell you one thing, man. I sat back and thought, this is an amazing thing that is taking place that I am seeing here. They took us in just like we were family. And I had a chance to talk to their executive pastor, and I mentioned something about that, and particularly about that couple. And I said that. I said, you guys took us in just like we're family. And you know what he said to me? You are. He said, it doesn't matter whether you're over here and go to this church or over here and go to this church. If God is your Father through Jesus Christ, you are family. I was like, doggone it, I'm the pastor. I should have been saying that. What a cool ride. We have that atmosphere here. I pray that it continues. That when we see that person that we don't even know, that we're going to extend to them the love and the hospitality that is deserving of another human being. Now, why I said that is this. As brothers and sisters, we're required to love each other. But as a stranger, we're required to love them too, aren't we? I will promise you that there are people that beat down the doors of Kellam Baptist Church in Jacksonville because they have been loved by the people of that church. See, here I am half a state away going, hey, did you hear about what happened up at Kellam Baptist? Man, they loved us to death. See, I don't believe that they did that just for this event. I believe they do that every single day of their lives. And that, my friend, is what makes a difference. Doug's wife, Sandra, came over to me. She's about this tall. We were getting ready to leave, and she said, hey. She came over and hugged me. Now, you know I don't like hugs. Just kidding. You know I actually love hugs. I turned, she was standing there, she grabbed hold of me, she hugged me, she said, now you boys be safe going home. I told her, I said, I love you. I was treated like their own children. Wow, what an impact of the gift of hospitality. So many people sit back and say, well, I just don't have gift. I don't teach Sunday school and I don't sing. You know what? There are so many other ways you can serve the Lord that are so impactful that it will change people's lives. I was in awe. I was like, I just can't believe it. That's why you had to hear me preach about it today. So what does that have to do with, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story? Well, first of all, you won't do that unless you have the heart to do that. You won't do that unless God has gifted you in that area to do that. You won't do that unless you look for opportunities to do that. You know what? It would have been a whole lot easier for her to say, you know what? That bed's made up. You know, there are, all the sheets are clean. The bathroom is clean and everything. And you know what? We never know when we might need it. You don't have to ask them guys to stay over here. Just let them. We don't even know who they are. They could have said that. They didn't. I believe with all my heart that she was probably going, good, man, we get a chance to serve. Now, I may be wrong, but I pray to God that if I am, I won't know to the other side of glory. But if I was a betting man, and I don't, remember, I'm a Baptist. If I was a betting man, I'd say that that was true heart that she showed. Why did she show it that way? Because she has the love of the Lord within her. If you don't have the love of the Lord in you, then you won't do that. So I'm asking you today, is Christ in your heart? Is Christ in your life? Brad, you guys come on up. We're preparing to have our time of invitation. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? You are either for Him or you're against Him. You're either one of His children or you're not. It's plain and simple as that. You are either on your way to heaven or you're on your way to hell. One of the two. It's simple. Which one are you? You see, if you've trusted Christ and you're one of His children, then what happens is simply this. You have the opportunity to exercise gifts, talents, and abilities that He's given you. We exercised ours. They exercised theirs. Everybody exercising them together is a great, great thing. It's poetry in motion. But have you trusted Jesus? That is the most important question you will ever, ever, ever in your life answer. I didn't ask if you were spiritual. Hell's going to be full of spiritual people. Hell's going to be full of good people. Hell's going to be full of nice people. The only people that are going to be in heaven are those who are saved. That's what you need to check. Have you trusted Him? Have you given every ounce of who you are over to Him? Have you said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell, but because of what Jesus accomplished on Calvary's cross through His death and resurrection, I have a chance for eternal life in that place called heaven. Oh, you can stretch your stuff all you want in this life, but I will promise you eternity's far longer than any amount of time you'll spend on this planet. I know where I'm going. I've got my ticket through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's all spiritual. Now, some people may say, well, I haven't been to church. I understand what's going on, but I don't actually know what you're talking about. Being saved, being born again. Listen, let me just tell you to do this. If that's you today, if you're out there, if you're watching, and you feel the Spirit knocking on your heart's door, that's not indigestion, you know what I'm talking about, then you just simply say, Lord, this is a prayer He'll hear from you. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I believe what Your Word says. I believe that Jesus accomplished everything I need on Calvary's cross, and through the resurrection, I can be free. Lord, forgive my sins and save me. Help me to live like one of the family. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you did that, you have started that relationship. He has forgiven your sin. I don't care what they are. I don't care how bad. I always hear that all the time. Well, you just don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. Well, you don't know how bad it is. Don't care how bad it is. And neither does God. He forgives it. Those that as far as the east is from the west, the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. You have a clean slate starting right now. You got a do-over. Isn't that cool? You ever remember do-overs? You'd start off, let me do it over. God's given your life a do-over if you've just trusted Christ. What will you do with it? Maybe you're here today and you've realized, you know what, I'm just existing. I know God's given me gifts, talents, and abilities, but they're secondary rather than primary. I don't go every day of my life looking for ways by which to use my gifts. Here's the thing I want to encourage you and challenge you to do. I want to challenge you every day to find a way to use that spiritual gift. So you got to look for it. It has to be intentional. It has to be on purpose. Yeah, I believe that it was a gift when we were coming there. It was a gift for them. I think they're just as tickled to do what they did as Jim and I were to receive what they did. They're like, ooh, here's a chance for me to exercise my hospitality. I couldn't believe it. Little candies on the bed. Most hotels I stay in don't even have that now. Had shampoo, conditioner, and body wash on a towel and a washcloth, and they were fanned out in a design. Who does that? You know me, I'd be like, well, there's the bed, there's the kitchen, and the toilet's over there. See y'all in the morning. No, not them. That was just pristine. Now, I will tell you, Doug didn't do the towels and the candy. That was his wife. She did that, but they served together. Listen, will you find ways to serve the Lord? What has God put on your heart about what he's given you to use for him? What part of this whole thing? Listen, hospitality is a spiritual gift. And if it's not hospitality he's given you, what has he given you and how can you use it? I'm just going to ask that we stand where we are as we prepare to sing our invitation hymn. It'll be number 320 in your hymnal. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. If God has spoken to you, if you need to spend time with him, this is the time to do it. If you've trusted Christ, please let us know. If you're online, please let us know. We want to get you some material. If you need the altar, it is here. We just plain old-fashioned around Central Baptist Church because there ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm here if you need me. The altar's here. You respond to God's calling in your life during our time of invitation as Brad leads us. Musicians continue to play. Listen, don't let whatever the Lord has spoken to you today get away from you. Satan's trying to put obstacles in your path. You know that. Don't let him win. Respond to whatever he's called you to do right now. Don't wait one more second. Now is the appointed time. Will you do that, that you can walk away from here with peace in your heart? I pray that you can. As you continue to seek God, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him. Just before we go to prayer, I want to remind you that today is our last offering that we will collect that will go toward the Cuba mission team because we will be leaving this week to go on that mission. If God has led you to be a part of that, don't look the other way. I love the great things that God has done, and every time I look at your faces out there, I think God has used you to make an eternal impact in the hearts and lives of all those people that we've had a chance to come in contact with. Once again, everything that you give in this offering goes toward ministry there. Our missionaries have raised their money or paid their way by which to go. So everything you are giving towards Cuba goes towards mission expenses, not like airfare, but the things we do on the field while we're over there. So if you're going to give to that, please just mark your, you can just put Cuba on it. They'll know what to do with it. Today, today's the last offering because I actually have to get with Mari, and we have to take all that with us. So we'll have to convert that to cash and take with us to be able to leave this week. So there's so many other things I'm sitting there thinking. I don't know what the numbers are, but I do believe that each and every one of you has risen to the challenge, and God's going to do some incredible things based on the goal. We said we needed about, I think it was $8,000 to be able to go. I don't know what the numbers are, but I have faith. Let's just put it that way. So be sure, if you want to get in on this, maybe somebody will say to you, I'm in heaven today because of what you gave and what took place through this ministry. We're feeding little kids. We got a missionary over there, things that continue to go down the road. So think about that, consider it as we pray today over our offering. Father, you're good to us. Everything comes from you. It's all yours. Help us, Father, to be good stewards with what you have entrusted us with. And Lord, right now, I pray that you will bless each gift and each giver. And Lord, may we be wise stewards in the way that it's utilized for your kingdom. But Lord, we thank you for it, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This week we're going to be celebrating people that are going to have another turn around the sun. As you can see, our very own Helen Fogelman will be starting another journey around the sun tomorrow. Then Tuesday, Ella Cadby, as well as our own David Bowman at the end of this week. Tammy, I know you're going to do something really, really nice and sweet for him along the way. And then on Saturday, Daphne Sawyer, if you see these folks or have an opportunity to listen, anything, even if it's a little text message, even if it's a little blurb on social media, reach out to these folks and just let them know that you're thinking about them, that you love them. As you see those names, be sure to pray for them along the way. Let me go ahead and give you the events that are taking place today and throughout this week. Don't forget that today My discipleship D-Life group meets at 3:30 in the conference room. Choir rehearsal, 4:45, right here in the sanctuary. Awana's as its regular time, 5:30, over in the educational facility. And then the Sunday evening Bible study with David right here in the sanctuary, 6 o'clock p.m. This Monday, Steve Kelly's D-Life small group will meet at Oak Ridge. Well, you're going to be in Oak Ridge, but at the Starbucks, you're going to be here. Okay, all right. You were just testing me, weren't you? I was testing you. Anyway, Steve's Monday evening, 6:30 p.m. D group is going to meet here rather than at an alternative location. So your normal place here this coming Tuesday. Also Wednesday, men's fellowship prayer breakfast, 10 a.m. at the Olympic in Colfax. Every Wednesday at 10 o'clock, come for a time of fellowship and just growing those relationships together. Every other Tuesday, there is a Bible study at the home of Roger and Donry Howerton, and that is from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock p.m. The next one that they have is this coming Tuesday, which is the 27th. Now, do us a favor. Don't just drop in. Please let us know if you're going to be there. You know, sometimes houses are always so big, and you know, you only accommodate so many. I know that you might be hanging out the windows, and that's okay, but there is actually a sign-up sheet back there, correct? If you plan to and can go to Roger and Don Rees this Tuesday, please sign up back there, or you can talk to David Miller or Paul Johansson. That's Paul back there away, Paul. And David, most of you know David up here. They're actually doing Bible study in the book of Daniel. And once again, that is every other week on Tuesdays, the next one being this coming Tuesday, the 27th. Was that clear as mud? Okay, good. Just wanted to make sure that I didn't muddy the waters along the way even more. Anyway, Media Center giveaway, part two. Is it still out there? There's still some things out there. If you see those, any books or anything that you would like to take home with you, please do so. These are things that are being essentially discontinued from our Media Center to allow room for newer items or things that Dina says it's time for them to go on and help somebody else. So if you help yourself, if anything out there that you see, be sure to take it with you before long. Probably by the time I get back from Cuba, we will be taking those down to the associational office to either go to another media center or to be utilized. So feel free to take those things. And final reminder, there's a lot of things that are going on around here. Please, if you're having a meeting, if you're doing something here at the church, please contact the church office and let us know so that we can put it on our building reservation calendar so that we don't wind up having two folks doing things or showing up to do things at the same time. There's a lot of things that are taking place that most folks don't know about. So there's something going on here just about all the time, even during the day. So please, we're not saying don't do it, but let us know so we can put it on the calendar. And then that way others, because what we do when somebody says, hey, can I use a room for this? You know, we will look at the calendar and see if anything's on it before we do that. So you got David does that, I do that, Building Grounds does that. So before we say anything to anybody, the first thing we do is look at that calendar. And if you're not on there and then all of a sudden you show up and something else is going on, hey, they're on the calendar. So please help us with that just because of a lot of the things that are taking place. Finally, I think, is there any other announcement that I need to make? Because we do have the special opportunity this week. I am going to ask our men that are on our Team Cuba 2024, if you'll make your way down here to the front. This is something that's always been very special to us in mission. Don't all y'all move at once now. Come on. I know which ones you are. You're the ones with the yellow shirts. We all shopped at the same place. I'm like, come on down there, brother. Bunch of Baptists. What are we going to do with them? You'll notice the guys, this is very significant. I know you've seen these for the 20 years. I believe this is our 20th year of being able to do our field of team that's gone to Cuba. This has been the same shirt. This has been the same shirt every year that we've gone, but there's a significance to this shirt. It helps the people in Cuba to identify who we are as teams that are coming in. And at points along the way, it also was something that was very, very helpful once the people of Cuba and their, I guess you'd call it their customs folks, customs and immigration, when they began to realize that we were not a threat, these shirts actually got us a long way and identified us as those believers who are doing good work in Cuba, and that's helped us along the way many times. So we wear these shirts into the country, and we wear them out of the country. I have like a wardrobe of them. I have literally about 20 of these t-shirts. But we did a little video this past week. These are your guys that are going on this trip this would be my left, your right, Ken Allred. Ken, wave. We want you to pray for Ken along the way. Steve Kelly. Steve, give a wave. Mike Stone. And myself, I'm the other one that's waving. We desperately need your prayers. You're sitting there saying, if these guys are the point, we're in trouble. Well, yeah, we're not if God's involved in it. But one of the things we like to do is commission our teams as they go forward in the name of our Father, but also in the name of Central Baptist Church. And we also have another very special one up here. You notice Jeff doesn't have his uniform on this year. You know, sometimes there's little setbacks, you know, a little triple bypass surgery for this year. I know that Jeff desperately wanted to go with us, but he is still working on getting himself back in the tip-top shape. I have a feeling you'll see him in a yellow shirt in the very, very near future. I know that he's loving us. He'll be praying for us. His heart will be with us, even though his body is back here. And one of the things that we have done, we took up a challenge, I believe it was 2002, that we would run the race of missions. And every year, one of the symbolism for that is that baton. If you've ever seen a relay race, when they run a lap, there's a handoff section. When you're coming through the section, the person who is finishing that leg of the journey hands off the baton in that zone to somebody else to run another leg of the journey. Well, that's what we've done for the past, since 2002 here at Central Baptist Church. And just as a visual reminder of that, we actually have what we call the mission baton. So basically what that means is that the Cuba team is getting ready to run this leg of the mission journey for Central Baptist Church. So in doing so, we have our very own Jeff, who is going to, on behalf of the church, present that to me, which is representing our team. And then what Jeff's going to do is Jeff is going to have the commissioning prayer for our team as we go forth in the name of the Father. Jeff, any words that you may have, feel welcome to say that, but there's our baton. It actually has the date June of 2002 was when we took up that challenge. So we give that, like we would give it to our seniors when they would go to Wyoming. We would give it to our youth when they... So this hasn't physically traveled, but it's got a bunch of miles on it. Sometimes it's physically traveled, but it's got a bunch of symbolic miles on it for the mission work that has gone forth. So, Jeff, any words? And then Jeff's going to commission, say our commissioning prayer for our team.
This has been a long tradition at this church to hand this off to each group that goes out into the field. So it's my honor to pass it off this year to the Cuba team.
Amen, brother. Would you pray for us? Send our team off in prayer and whatever words you may have. I'm going to stand close to you so they can pick you up on my microphone so people at home can hear you.
A couple verses of scripture I'd like to read before I pray. This is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and praise your name. We pray that you bless this mission. Send your Holy Spirit to lead and guide this team to be the hands and feet of your Son, Jesus Christ. Mm. Give each of them the strength and courage to step out to reach the lost for the gospel of Christ through their talents of evangelism, their working hands, their giving comfort, or giving encouragement. We thank you, Lord, for the families of these individuals, for their willingness to give their family members for you to use for your purposes. By these men's actions and words, make them witnesses of your great love. Protect them and fill them with the Holy Spirit and enable them to complete their task faithfully and joyfully. Mm. Bring them safely home and may their experiences enrich us so that we may glorify you. Mm. Give them strength, wisdom, and love to work for you as they serve. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jeff. Pray for us. I have a feeling that Jeff won't be on the giving end of this baton next year, but he'll be on the receiving end of it. Do us a favor. That was your closing prayer. Come up, let these guys know that you're going to be praying for them as we go. And if there's anything that we can do, let us know. We will certainly be trusting and counting on your prayers. And Jeff is always part of our team. So don't go sit down. Stay up here. Let people greet you. Folks, you're dismissed. Come on up and shake a hand.